I mean, man, all this good sharing and, man, well, guess what? I'm the preacher for today.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. So before I begin, actually, you know, I want to thank a few people. I want to thank my awesome, incredible wife. And so, you know, you might say, why? Because she's awesome and she's incredible. She keeps me close to God. She keeps me close to God. Then secondly, I have to thank Jackie Graham. Now we're going to say, Jackie Graham, what's she got to do with this? Well, I'll tell you. See, what happened was Denton did one of his incredible messages at JPAC. I mean, you know Denton. He was incredible. Awesome. Awesome message. And so when he finished, I was trying to get to him, but he was everybody was around him congratulating him. So I said, you know what? I'm going to talk to his wife. So I went to Jackie, and I said, Jackie, wow, your husband did an incredible job. He was fantastic. Awesome. And I said, Jackie, I didn't know your husband was so smart. And you know what Jackie said to me? Neither did I. Now, that ain't completely the truth. I just figured I'd loosen you up a little bit. That ain't completely the truth. What she said to me was that, you know, Matt, all he did was pick out a topic and study it out. I said, that's it? That's all he did? I said, well, I could do that.
Come on.
So that was phase two. Right. So I did. I did pick out a topic and I did study it out. And thirdly, I have to thank Sean Barnes. What an encouragement. Spiritually, inspirationally, I mean, you know, his transparency and his love for God is immeasurable. You know, it just does something for my heart that spurs me on to do greater things, you know. And so what happened was Sean invited my wife and I to a leaders meeting back in 2022, I'll say. I don't remember the exact date. But anyway, we go, and it was fantastic. We learned a lot, and we broke up into small groups. So I just happened to be in Sean's group, myself, Lissette Robinson, and, excuse me, Colin Crosley. Everybody knows Colin. So Sean says, well, you know, I want you to share your conversion stories, so which we all did. So when I got to mine, Sean's like, bro, you got to share that story. Bro, do you want to preach? And so naturally, I'm fired up because Sean's fired. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. That's how it was. So mind you, this is 2022. He says, bro, I'm going to put you on the calendar. Don't worry, I got you. I'm going to put you on the calendar. Now, he didn't tell me when I was going to be put on the calendar, but he said, bro, I'm going to put you on the calendar. So here we are now, 2026. I'm on the calendar. Come on the calendar. So I said, Sean, you know what? I can do it, Sean. I can do it. So, amen. So he put me on the calendar. So, amen. So before we start, I'm just going to pray, if you don't mind. Okay. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come before your kingdom, your family, Father, and share my experience with them, my experiences, Father. I pray that you use me in a powerful way, Lord, and that you help my message to come across clearly, concisely, Father, and that they receive it well. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen. So, you know, this is new because I got PowerPoint. Never used it before, but I'm going to use it today. I'm going to do it. Sean said it's easy, so amen. All right. So you see, today's sermon, God has a plan for your life. That's right. Each and every one of you. All of us, God does have a plan for our life, okay? And if we look in, well, let me just say, that's the first point. God has a plan for your life, so that's the plan, okay? So now, if we look at Jeremiah 29:11, which we all know that scripture, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's right. God has a plan. And this is a promise from God. for all of us.
That's right.
But of course, you know, we may say we believe it, but of course what happens is, you know, sometimes we might not kind of trust the plan. We might get impatient because God's not working fast enough, you know.
Okay.
So what do you want to do? You want to take control, you know.
So, but
what happens when you take control, you kind of take God out of the situation, you know. So say, for instance, you know, like when we first got married, my wife and I, we lived in a one bedroom. One bathroom, and four people.
Wow.
All right, so just picture trying to get to the bathroom. You know, we had to block out time to get to the bathroom. 8 years. 8 years. But guess what? And sometimes, what did I say? It's five. How many did I say?
Eight.
Did I say? Well, it felt like eight. Yeah, that's when we had. Listen, that's when we had company. So we had five, not adults, but five individuals, sometimes six, in this one bedroom for 8 years. Now, don't tell me you don't get discouraged, and sometimes you might want to say, you know what? God, I love you, but your plan just ain't working. It's taking too long. I'm getting very discouraged. All right, so say that's the case, right? So now you go outside of God's plan because you get tired of living in such a confined quarters, and you go out there, and you start shopping around. You say, you know what? I found a bigger place. I found a better place. I found a nicer place, more convenient, right? But what happens is, come to find out, you know, you don't do the math. You don't think about certain things. You may end up getting a house that you really, really, really can't afford, you know, but it's bigger, it seems better, and it's good at the time. But then what happens is, the hot water heater goes, refrigerator goes, gas burner goes, busted pipe. All right, and like now you're starting to get a little frustrated, a little anger, you know, and so the money starts disappearing. So what happens? You start taking from here, taking from there, taking from your contribution, right? And so now, before when money wasn't an issue, because Sean could preach about money all he want, never bothered you, but now you ain't got none. Because it's going in 10 different directions. All of a sudden, it's an issue, and it's the church's fault. You know, and so the husband's like, baby, why do we got to give contribution again? Again. Wait, why do we got to give special contribution again? And the wife says, but baby, that was 12 months ago. Well, why we got to give again? You know, and you start wondering. But what happens is, in the whole process, and so this is what I studied out. I studied out bitterness, well, resentment and bitterness and how they're intertwined. So what happens is, you start getting resentful. Why you gotta talk about money? Why you gotta ask? Why do you gotta know how much I give? When I'm gonna give? You know, becomes an issue. So then now you start getting resentful. And the longer it goes on, the more you get bitter.
Yeah.
Okay? So before we get to the definition of bitterness, I just want to say, with all those things, there is a price you must pay. Whether you want the car, I mean, you got a car, right? And it runs, it gets you from home to work, from A to B, back to B to A. So what's the problem? But you want a nice new car. You want, you know, it's got to smell good. It's got to look good. But, you know, you go to the dealer, and they can sell you anything. You know, you hear these commercials, you know, no job, no money, no credit. Don't worry. You get your car. You'll leave with a car. I'm like, how is that possible? But, you know, you're outside of God's plan. You know, God has a plan for our life. Well, you go outside of it. Now you got the car. You got the $500-$600 car payment, right? Yeah. See, there you go. You just read my mind. That was the next thing. So now you got the full coverage. See, before when you had the hoopty, you didn't have to worry about car payment. You didn't have to worry about high insurance. Now you got to worry about all that stuff. Now, of course, now you want to get mad at people that talk about money. And you start to get bitter. But come on, you know, the car was fine. The house was good. It's what you make of it. You know, practice love. Okay, so with that being said, let's look at Matthew 6:31. So it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Let your will be done, Father. That should be enough. Because if he knows you need them, he will provide. He definitely will provide. Because there is a price to pay for stuff. Especially if it's outside of God's plan for you. Now, it's not to say he can't bless it. It'll be a lot harder. I can guarantee you that. It'll be a lot harder. You'll be saying, my God. Then you'll be on your knees. But he can work it out for you. It'll definitely just be a lot harder. So, as I told you, I studied out resentment and bitterness, because all of that is incorporated with how you feel about things when they don't go your way. Right? So, with that being said, let's move to the next slide. So there we go. What is resentment, bitterness? So I'm going to read from my notes, because according to what Sean told me, couldn't kind of fit it all in on the screen. So yeah, take off my glasses. These are for seeing distance. I can see everything. I can see everything small print quite well. So what is resentment, bitterness, according to Google? Okay, so it says, resentment is an anger or displeasure from feeling unfairly treated by a specific person or situation. Bitterness is a deep chronic state that develops when resentment festers. It becomes a deep-seated corrosive anger after stemming from unresolved hurt or perceived injustice, manifesting as unforgiveness, harshness, and a refusal to seek peace, leading to spiritual defilement and affecting others. Boy, that's scary. I got to tell you, man. Just hearing the word defilement puts me on edge. All right? But that's Google. But now let's see what the Bible says. So if we look at Hebrews 12:14-15, okay, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. There we go again. Defilement. Wow. I forgot to look that word up, because it's very critical, but it doesn't sound good. All right. So, but it says that, you know, don't let a bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many within you. Let's look at Ephesians. Let's see what Ephesians has to say. Ephesians 4:29-31. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. That's according to the Bible. That's what the Bible says. That's not my words. It's God's words. Okay. But let me say this, okay, between resentment and bitterness, that, listen, every Christian must do the work on themselves. That's right. To rid their hearts of bitterness. Right. No one can do that for you.
That's right.
All right? So now, the next slide you'll see. Did I get it right here? Let's see. Okay. Yep. So Sean was doing the message, I am not a victim, and it It was about Joseph and his family and his brothers and their relationship. And, you know, in listening to it, I said, wow, you know what? That's a good time for me to get up there and preach.
Come on.
You know, because he's talking about something that I already studied out, bitterness.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you noticed it, but the brothers actually practiced hatred towards him.
Mm-hmm.
They were jealous. And in the end, later on, they were, not towards the end, but they were deceitful, because what did they try to do? They tried to lie. They tried to say that a wild animal had eaten them and
right.
The blood was on the ornate robe.
Yeah.
So their bitterness was like transformed mega times, because we picked it up when he was 17. And so towards the end of his father's life, the bitterness just actually grew. That root grew. So let me share with you a little bit about myself. One of the things I like to do is I like to garden, right? Which is the next slide. Because I just don't like my house to be raggedy looking.
Yeah.
It's got to be neat. It may not be elaborate,
right.
But since it's a corner house, it has to be neat. I don't care. So I try to keep it neat. All right? So that means that I have to get out there, and I have to garden, and I have to prune. And actually what I do every year is I get out there and I weed prevent. Okay? So now, there is one particular weed that tends to grow more than the others, and it happens to be the dandelion, as you can see in the picture. So now, dandelions, you know, it's funny because I didn't know much about them. So what I would do is I just plucked them out, yanked them out, and maybe for a week or two, everything would look good. My lawn would be the nicest on the block, lush and green. And then maybe a week and a half later, poop, poop, they just pop right up. Now, instead of 6, I got 12. Instead of 12, I got 24. I'm like, what the heck am I doing wrong? So I said, you know what? I'm gonna study this out. And I did. And what I learned was that you have to get the root. You got to go deep. And you got to get the root. The root, okay? Now, the root can be anywhere from, you know, from 6 inches in a dandelion to about 3 feet. Okay? Yeah. Believe it or not, I didn't know that either. And what else is essential to them? They have something which is known as the taproot. Yeah. So that's what anchors the weed. Or it could be a weed, it could be a cactus. They all have tap roots. Weed, cactus, certain plants, certain pine trees, they all have tap roots. Not everything has a tap root. Not every vegetable or plant has a tap root. But the tap root is what anchors the weed, for all intents and purposes, I'll say weed, into the ground. And then the offshoots basically feed that tap root. Now, in Joseph's case with his brothers, if they're nurturing that tap root with hatred and discord and jealousy, well, what's going to flower at the top ain't going to be so nice, because that's going to be who they are.
That's right.
But, of course, you want to nurture yours with good love, kindness, compassion, you know, concern. And so that's what was happening. Now, you know, I want to ask you a question, because I asked a few people, and how many of you have ever eaten the taproot? I have. And my wife raised her hand. Maybe because she cooked it. That's why I ate it. Because, you know, she cooked it, I'm going to eat it. But has anybody else in here ever eaten a taproot? Oh, I can bet you. I can bet that every single person in here has eaten a taproot. And I see some of the looks. Like Yvette, she's like. And I know Daryl is back there. Donald, my man Donald's back there like, yo, bro, I don't eat no taproot, man. I ain't, yo, you must be out your mind, man. My wife, I don't care what she cooked, but I ain't eating that. Well, I'm just telling it the way it is. Even Reggie like, the heck is that? I asked the smartest man in Queens without calling any names. And he says like, well, what is that? Some kind of, I was like, no, man, you'd be surprised what a taproot is. So I actually brought one.
Show us, bro.
I'm going to bring it. I'm going to show you. I wrapped it up too good, though. So give me a minute here. Let me take it out. You'll be surprised. You really will be surprised. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to teach you.
Wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't think about it. Stop that. You know you wouldn't think about nothing. Now, of course, you were thinking about it after I showed you. All right, yeah. So this is what you see right there, taproot. So they just shave it down and see what happens is it's fed through the hairs that and the taproot, and then it actually makes the flower up top, the green part. Yeah, so it's a taproot. There are many others, you know, but just so you know, that is a taproot. And as I said, they can grow between 6 inches in a dandelion to 3 feet. But let me tell you, and I believe in visual aid, so I got another visual aid here. So, you know, this is according to my job, you know, I'm custodial engineer. Sometimes I got to go out and measure, you know, measure areas. Like, this is basically used for measuring outdoor spaces. If I were in here and I was going to measure this area of the room, basically I take a light meter. I go like that, like that, like that. I get all the readings. Everybody be happy. But this measures large spaces. So now, as I said, you know, a taproot can grow anywhere between 16 inches and 3 feet. But they can grow also as large, anywhere between 100 feet, 100, and 400 feet. That's why I brought this. Now, this itself is 100 feet. But we're not going to do that because she'd probably be all the way out on Dieter Lake. And we can't go that far. But what I'll ask you to do is go to the second column. So my lovely assistant will take it. All right, there we go. There we go. There we go. Hold on. All right, the next one. Wow. Keep going. All right, we can stop. I mean, if you're there. So it is, let me make sure. Wrong side. I flip it over. All right, so it's approximately, I'll call it 44 feet.
Wow.
So imagine they can grow anywhere between 100 and 400 feet. So you just multiply that, and you can see basically how deep a taproot can get. Now, I only say that because when we look at Joseph and his brothers, you'll see that if you let it go for over a period of time, well, that's what you're going to get. So if you have bitterness in you from when you were younger, which could be. I mean, listen, things happen. Or you might have bitterness towards someone, should I mention, in the fellowship? Listen, I'm going to tell you, you can't grow. You can't grow. It's just not possible. And you see how deep it can grow, how deep it can get. That's just a fact. That's not me. I'm giving you reality. Okay? So I think I might have skipped the scripture here, but anyway. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Sean. I know. I feel good. So we want to look, the next scripture that I want to look at is, you know, you might ask yourself, why did Joseph weep? But before I mention that, there was a scripture that I was going to share with you. So I'm going to back up a little bit. And let me find it. Basically, it was about Joseph and his brothers. And just give me a second here. Okay, yeah. Basically, it was Genesis 37, 3 to 4. And it basically described about, you know, their hatred and jealousy and deceitfulness, okay, which we already know.
Right.
But now we're going to jump ahead and we're going to look at Genesis 50, 15 to 21. Remember, God has a plan for your life.
That's right.
God Almighty has a plan for your life. I'm telling you. Wait till you hear my story. We ain't get there yet, but
buckle up.
Okay, so it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? See, right there, that's a problem. Right there, that's a problem. They're not resolved. They, you know, they're still filled with that bitterness. And so what does it make them do? It makes them, you know, not trust in God. It makes them, again, plot to be deceitful. Because what is he going to do to us?
Right.
Oh, my God. We treated them wrong. And admittedly so, they said it. So now what's going to happen? Okay, so let's go on. Let's move on. So they sent word to Joseph saying that your father left these instructions before he died. This is what to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of your servants of God, of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. And so, you know, I had to think about it. But then I said, you know what? You know why Joseph wept? Anybody? I'll tell you why. Joseph wept because he had no bitterness in him. None. He didn't even know what it was. It was like a foreign language. He couldn't identify with it. So he wept. Because he's like, man, these guys don't get it. Yeah. They just don't get it. And they didn't get it. Yeah. And so, you know, Joseph was faithful to God. Yeah. He didn't have any bitterness in him. And he was faithful to God. And you know what? That's why God had a plan for him. You know, God had a plan to prosper him. That's what the Lord said. And that he had a plan not to harm him and to give him hope and a future. Yeah. All right, let's read on. All right, let's see where I left off at. All right. His brothers came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to do me, see, right there. You intended to do me harm. Yeah. No bitterness. No bitterness. You intended to do me harm, but God Almighty, intended it for good.
That's right.
To accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. God had a plan. God had a plan. You know, Joseph, he understood he's going to be faithful, and God had a plan for his life. Why? Because he didn't harbor any bitterness.
That's right.
No resentment. That's right. He was faithful to God. So, but what you need to understand, and I'm going to try to help you overcome bitterness. Give you some advice, some pointers.
Come on.
What worked for me in my life? Okay? So, you know, you need to understand that this world is not kind. All right? Someone's going to hurt you and you're going to hurt someone. That's a foregone conclusion. You're going to be hurt by others. But the question is, what do we do when we're hurt? Is there a right way to handle our emotions?
Yeah.
Is there? Yes. Of course there is. I'll give you an example. And I made sure I checked with this brother before I said I was going to use it as an example. He said, bro, just make sure it's funny. All right. So what happened was, you know, we had a men's day this past at my house, like a men's get together. And, you know, you can't ever, if you wait too late in the summer, you can't ever plan anything really because everybody's got something to do. Everybody's got something to do. So we just said, you know, spontaneously, look, next week, bro, my house. So make sure you get the message out to your Bible talk. Let everybody know we're going to make it happen. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It didn't matter rain or shine,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We actually had more fun when it rained.
Right.
Then when the sun was out,
yeah.
All right, this brother comes up to me after service, says, Matt, you know, and it was Eric, I'll mention, since he said it was okay, I'm going to mention it. He said it was okay now. So he comes up to me and he says, bro, I need to talk to you for a minute. I was like, okay. Now, Eric and I, we have a good relationship. We, you know, we cordially encourage one another and talk to one another. But I didn't know we had, I was like, okay, but what could be so deep? He's like, bro, I'm hurting. I'm hurting, bro. I need to talk to you. I was like, man, what comes to my mind? I'm like, listen, if you got a, you know, your wife is awesome, but if you got, you know, something going on, you know, I think you better speak to Deacon Denton or, you know, or Deacon Reggie or or maybe, you know, Pastor Sean, but I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can help you, bro. I got problems of my own. Not to think that I was the problem. It was the furthest thing from my mind that I was the problem, the cause of his grief. And, you know, to his credit, he didn't let that resentment build up in him. Because, see, you know, half the times when people are bitter against you or resentful, you may not have a clue. Because you don't know you hurt them. I don't think you intentionally go around hurting people. So they can hold on to it. And you're fine. You're fine. But they're not. Because they haven't gotten over it. And they ain't growing. So to Eric's credit, he came to me and said, bro, I was very disappointed, man, that you didn't invite me to your men's day. I was like, wow. Man, let me tell you, that nearly knocked me off my feet. It was like, I said, Eric, man, I'm so sorry. Because you know what? One of my greatest fears was that someone was going to fall in between the cracks and get left out. Yeah. He wasn't there, but I thought it's because he had something to do. Yeah. I didn't think it was there because he didn't know. I would have called him and said, Eric, come on, man, where are you? We miss you. Right. He said, I said, bro, I'm deeply sorry. And he said, "I listen, bro, thank you. Mm. We embraced, and that was it. Yeah. You know, he took it upon himself to expose himself and to come to me. And I was so grateful, because you need to talk to the person that hurt you and treated you unjustly. You got to. How else are you going to get over it? They don't, half the time, more, three quarters of the time, they don't even know. But do it in a loving, godly way. Okay? You know, so now, remember, you have to reveal yourself, and you have to reveal what's in your heart, and it's not an easy thing to do, but it is essential. It is an essential step to walk in the light and allow the Holy Spirit to heal your heart.
That's right.
Right. Listen, you must remember to forgive.
That's right.
And those who have treated you unfairly, you must.
Yeah.
Listen, it's not a command from me, but what you will find out is that it's a command from the Bible. So let's move forward.
Come on, bro.
Let me see here. Joseph Webb. Okay. How to come. We're a little bit behind, but all right. Sean, this thing works pretty well, man.
I told you, bro.
I gotta tell you, bro. All right, just tap and go. All right. You know what happened? I got a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. Anyway, so we're gonna look at Matthew 6:14. Again, it's Bible speaking. He said, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I don't think that's an option. I mean, if you got to. Because why? Because you want to be forgiven for your injustices and your wrongdoing.
Yes.
I can tell you right now, whenever the enemy tries to enter my mind and say, you know, Matt, you know, you did this, you did that, I said, I've already been forgiven.
Right.
Why? Because I forgave those who mistreated me and treated me wrongly. And believe me, you know stuff happens. And you know sometimes it can cut deep. But I knew and I know that if I was going to be forgiven, I got to forgive. That was it. I had to forgive. Now, what that means is, you know, husband got to stop blaming wife, and wife got to stop blaming husband, and kids got to stop blaming each other, and together they got to stop blaming daddy, and then together they got to stop blaming mommy, and cat got to stop blaming dog, and Patrick got to stop blaming Helen, and Helen got to stop blaming Pat. You know what I'm saying? Bro, I just figured I'd throw you in there, man. I won't leave y'all, bro. I ain't want to leave y'all. I hope it's all right. It's too late, but I hope it's all right. All right. You know, I know, right? Because I don't want any bitterness. I don't want him to resent the fact that I brought his name up and didn't talk to him first. But I think Pat is cool with it. So now, you know, it's interesting because you have to take responsibility for your emotions. You have to take responsibility for your emotions. All right? I got to share something with you. It's not on there, but I'm going to share something with you. Because, you know, you got kids that want to blame their parents, you know, don't want to talk to them because they say, oh, you know, because of you. Listen, I did the best for you, gave you the most I could. So now you're an adult. You got to start taking care of us, taking responsibility for yourself and stop blaming me as the parent because you're an adult now. All right? Because they will do that. But they got to take responsibility. So I told my son, you know, my wife and I have a blended family. And when we first got married, it was hard for everybody. Everybody. It was hard for everybody. And so he'd come to me and say, Dad, I can't take it. I can't deal with it. It's just too hard. And so, you know, I said, listen, there's three things. There's three people. All right. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just so you know. It was me, it was my mother, and there was my wife. I said, if I'm unavailable and you're with my wife, I trust her completely and wholeheartedly to make whatever decision is necessary for you at that time. Unquestionably.
Yeah. Come on.
To this day.
Yeah.
Unquestionably.
Yeah.
I said, who washes your clothes?
Mm. Hello.
Who cooks your meals? Who makes soup for you when you're sick? I could do all those things. I could do. Even if I can't cook, I'll become the greatest chef for my son. I would do that. But, and who gives you medicine when I'm not there? All right. I said, you know, your mom is a wonderful person. God bless her. But she's 1,400 miles away. So guess what? It's my wife.
Yeah.
And guess what? You have to take responsibility for your emotions, because guess what? This world is not kind. It is not going to meet your mold. It is not going to be the way you want or intend it to be. It's going to be hard. So guess what? You better learn to take control of your emotions and deal with it. I'll be there. I'll comfort you. I'll guide you. I'm going to tell you the truth, whether I'm wrong or she's wrong or you're wrong, you're going to hear the truth. But guess what? You're going to deal with it because you need grit to be able to make it in this world. So guess what? Take control of your emotions. Take responsibility. All right, so let me move forward because I think it's getting a little late. So I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit because we ain't even get to the main topic yet. So all I can tell you... Oh, by the way, did I tell you that I brought this prop?
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is root beer, and you know you drink, if you drank sassafras in the South, you know they would take the sassafras root, which is a tap root, and they would make root beer. So you've actually drank it also.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, you know, but now everything is processed, so it has no root beer. Everything is processed because of chemicals, because of modern time. But just a little tidbit for you. So now, so all I got to tell you is put on your seatbelt.
Come on,
fasten up, because for those who don't know, you're going to find out, and let me tell you something. What a challenge. Because back in 2005, I was accused. Yeah, I was accused. I was innocent. But I was accused. And I'm not talking about an Isaac Hayes album or record. I'm talking about I was accused. So, next thing I know, I'm at Central Booking. Now remember, God has a plan for your life. But guess what? I definitely wasn't feeling it. I was like, God, there's 8 million people in New York. Why me? Why me? Why? See, I wasn't like Joseph. I was like, God, why me? But God had a plan. I wasn't feeling it, but he had a plan. So the next thing I know, I got $2 million bail on my head. $2 million. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Boy, let me tell you, I wasn't feeling it. I was crying like a baby because I knew, I don't care if all the people I knew, $2 million was not happening. So next thing I know, I'm on the island. And I'm not talking about the island of Jamaica or Curacao or Panama. No. I was in Rikers Island. So, but God was protecting me. He said he wouldn't harm me. And so what happened was they put me in what they call PC. See, now you know I was there because only if you worked there, you were there, you would know what PC means. Well, it means protective custody.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where all the rats and the snitches and the this and the that go. And guess what? That's where I am. So they transport me there, and I get there, and I'm in the day room, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm in culture shock, major culture shock. What happened? 8.5 million people in New York. Why me? Why me? So anyway, then I'm there standing around. Everybody's still sleeping, and, you know, I guess he's the jail block big boy. He comes out and he's like, yo, man, you don't look like you belong here. I said, I don't, man. I don't know why I'm here, but I do not belong here. So he walks away. Then another guy comes up to me. He's like, yo, man, where you from? Now, at that point in my life, I was living in Kew Gardens, you know, and Forest Hills. His brother didn't have no idea where that place was. And I was like, you know what? I can't tell him I'm from middle class America. How is that gonna look? I was like, oh my God. So I went back to my roots. And, you know, my man Donald Lotlow would tell you, we always talk about we from the ghetto. So guess where I'm from? I'm from the ghetto. I told him, I said, look, man, I'm from the projects. So when he heard where I grew up, he's like, yo, dog, I hear it's crazy over there. I hear they off the chain. Whoa. I'm like, yep. I'm like, oh my God, why me? 9 million people, why me? God. Oh my God. Now, you know, I got to make light of it because it's true. I'm telling you, I was scared, crazy, out of my head, out of my mind. I was like, God, what's going on here? So now, but God had a plan. Let's not forget about that. God had a plan. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, God, why me? So now, everybody there has to belong to somebody. Yeah, this is reality. So the big dogs have their dogs, and the little dogs got to have their dogs. And here I am in the middle of the day room, like in culture shock. And here come this muscle dude with muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles. I look like Pee-wee compared to him. And he come walking up to me. He's like, yo, dog. You belong to me. This is the truth. He's like, yo, dog, you belong to me. Now, this guy couldn't be no more than 23, 21, 22, 23. So when he said that to me, I was like, wait a minute. My son's older than you. My son is older than you. So I looked at him and I said, yo, man, I got a son older than you. I said, I'm old enough to be your father. I'm in my mid-40s. What are you talking about? I belong to you. Are you out your mind? Then I was like, oh, God. I'm telling you the truth. I was like, oh, God. What did I just do? What did I just say? So anyway, it's critical that you remember that because in the end, you'll see that God has a plan. So now here I am, you know, and I left out a lot of details because for the sake of time. But what happened was, you know, I started to, when I'm in my quarters, call it quarters, and I'm laying on my cot, and the mice are just running back and forth like it's the Kentucky Derby. Under the door, out, up the down. I was like, oh Lord. So I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to take responsibility for my emotions. I said, I'm going to stop saying, why me? And I'm going to say, why not? I said, why not me? There's 9.5 million people. I said, why not me? So I said, you know what? I'm going to start preaching the word.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm going to start sharing my faith.
Yeah.
I'm going to start studying the Bible with people. That's what I did.
Wow.
So every day we would have Bible study. And I met a gentleman by the name of Mr. Abraham and Mr. Lee. And we planted plenty of seeds. You know, God will water however he waters. You know, you just plant the seed. But there were Mr. Abraham and Mr. Lee. They were very encouraged. And so I do believe that when they got out, they were going to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
And they were going to find the waters of baptism.
Amen.
And become Christians. I really felt that because they were so sincere.
Yeah, wow.
You see, God had a plan.
That's right.
Wow.
Okay. But so now I have went to criminal court, come back, and I'm in the day room. And, you know, I'm just taking it all in. This is like 3 weeks into me being there. And so here comes Animal again. I'm like, oh, God, what does this guy want? What does he want from me? So he says to me, he says, yo, man, you can call me Wingate. You can call me Wingate. And he said it in a voice so that nobody else could hear him. He kind of whispered and said, yo, man, you could call me Wingate. What'd you say? Yo, man, you could call me Wingate. I said, your name is Wingate? Because, see, you got to remember that nobody goes by their real name there. Nobody. You know, you got Nat Turner, you got Lefty, you got Prince, you got Animal, and I ain't know everybody else. I was trying to keep it tight, you know. But the funny thing was, by the third week, I got to laugh, because by the third week, they had given me a name. They gave me a nickname. Preacher Man. That's what they call me. They call me Preacher Man. But it was a badge of honor for me. But the funny thing, though, is that whenever they would call me, they'd say, Yo, Preacher Man, you hear me? Because I didn't know. I was, you know, that's not my name, and that wasn't the first thing that registered in my head until I got used to it. And I was like, yo, what do you want, man? So I would go over there and I would talk with them and whatever. But, you know, what eventually happened was I was exonerated.
Amen.
You know, I ain't doing anything. So, like, what you holding me for here for? But let me tell you, these guys know more about the law than the average lawyer, because they watch the news, they read the paper. They know the law, and they were telling me. And they're like, bro, if you're not, you know, if you're not indicted within, you know, 4 weeks, you know, they gotta let you go. I'm like, really? So four weeks came, and I was gone. So, you know, amen. So now here I am. I'm out. I'm saying, you know what? And let me just say that anything that happened after that just wasn't so easy, because now I got to go back to work. So that means they had to give me my job back, because guess what? I was coming for them. So everybody start getting scared, and everybody start covering up for everybody. You know, NYP covered up for Board Ed, Board Ed called up for MEPD. It was just, everybody start getting nervous.
Yeah.
because I was coming for them. So I got my job back. I went on to go back to school. And because of that, because of returning to school, I was able to achieve great financial wealth. I mean, I'm not a millionaire, but I don't do too badly. My wife and I, we don't do too badly. Praise God. And I was able to go back to school. And I did. It took me a while. And even that was a challenge because people would tell me, bro, why are you going back to school? You just got married. Your wife's home with the kids, and you got to take care of that. And I was like, listen, if it's free, it's for me, and this is what my heart tells me to do, and I'm going to do it. And ain't nobody complaining now.
Right.
So amen. Amen to that. So praise God. On top of that, my brother and I, we had a lousy relationship. Lousy relationship. But because of what happened, it merged our friendship to grow. Yeah. Now we're like two peas in a pod.
Wow.
Two peas in a pod. My wife and Kisha, they got to know each other on levels that probably most, you know, mother, daughter-in-laws don't get to experience.
Yeah.
Grateful for that, right? Like I said, my brother and I have a great relationship now. But I guess one of the greatest things that happened was that my mom would tell me, all right, so my mom would tell me that, you know, whenever I was at criminal court, there was always somebody there waiting for me to hold my hand. And I was like, really, Mom? She said, yeah, it was Ludwig Bannister. She said, Ludwig Bannister was there every single time waiting for me to hold my hand and comfort me. And he held my hand all the way through. She said, that's my guy. That's my guy. That's what she would tell me. She said, Esau Rahman. She said, that's my guy. That's my guy. Because anytime I needed legal advice, he was there to give it to me.
Yeah.
And he would tell me, he said, yo, man, you can't talk about that. Don't mention that. Don't worry. All right. Then you have the sisters in the church, my wife, Jackie Graham, Janice Crosley, Karen Frazier, Arlene, and many of the other sisters that built a relationship with Mom that was completely loving and transparent. So as a result, Mom decided to become your sister in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. God had a plan. Did I know? No. Would I do it again? Of course. Would I change anything? No. Because God had a plan. You know, they make you, you know, I work for the city, so they say, you know, if you're gonna do X, Y, and Z, you have to go see a clinical psychologist. So for 7 years, I said, okay, if that's what I got to do, because I'm coming after you. And if that's what I got to do, I'll do. So I did it. And towards the end, he said to me, he said, you know, Matt, he said, you know, you suffered a lot of trauma, a lot of anxiety, anxious moments. He said, but you know one thing? This is the truth. He said, you're not bitter. He said, you don't have any bitterness in you. And I said, why should I? I said, because I can't be bitter at someone for something maybe they were put up to do, but I have no bitterness in me.
Yeah.
And because of that, God was able to fulfill that promise that he made, that he would prosper me, protect me, give me hope, and give me a future. Yes, give me a future. Amen. So with that being said, I want to look at Ephesians 4:32 and Jeremiah 29:11. So let's move forward. Okay. So we'll read Ephesians. How about this? We'll read Ephesians 4:32. And it reads, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen. And of course, we know Jeremiah 29:11, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Remember, brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life. Amen. And to God be the glory. Amen.
Okay. Listen, you know I'm a brilliant friend. You know I'm a brilliant friend.